Beyond Black and White readers, I am talking to Sophia Angeli Nelson. She is a political commentator, a writer for Essence and Ebony and Jet, and just she has completed her book and has blessed me with the opportunity to have an exclusive discussion with her about her new book coming out in about 7 months called Black Women Redefined. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. What is Black Women Redefined all about?
Well, first, Chris, let me say thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of yours. Congratulations on the success of No Wedding, No Womb and all that you do for our community. And I thought it would be very appropriate to have you be one of the first people that I would talk to about this important book that I've devoted the last 4 years of my life to. Black Woman Redefined, Black Woman Redefined. It's singular, you noticed, Black Woman Redefined. Why did I choose that title and what's it all about? Well, obviously, as you know, being a black woman yourself, for generations, for centuries, black women in America have been defined in a very certain way, and it's not very positive, let's just face it. Whether it's our evolution from slavery to Jim Crow to single mothers in urban America, if you go back to the 70s with Claudine, you know, Diana Carroll's character with James Earl Jones, you know, she's the welfare mom. She's trying to work. She's trying to make it happen. Or if you even go to the 1975 work on Colored Girls, which was a Tony Award-winning play, which is now a feature film by Tyler Perry that I had a chance to see last night with my buddy groups. And the images in that movie that certainly depicted what the book was all about in the 70s, the thing that I found interesting that resonated with me, Chris, and rung my bell in terms of, wow, this is my book, is that the issues I'm talking about in Black Woman Redefined are the very same issues that Ms. John Jay was talking about in 1975. And what kind of struck me about that was, is here we are 30-some years later, and we as black women, although we have evolved, we have a fabulous black first lady, and we have many of us, Oprah, you know, the Williams twins, you know, tennis players, et cetera, we are very successful sisters, but we still have a lot of pain and we still have a lot of struggle and we still have a lot of burdens that we're carrying. And so what my book is all about is redefining the definitions that have burdened us, that have bogged us down, that have stereotyped us. Some of them we own. Some of them are true. But, you know, you can't fix things. You can't heal from anything until you put it on the table and say, I need to deal with me. I need to conquer my demons. I need to be whole and healthy and happy. And then I can focus on attracting those things I want in my life to give me the feelings of love and fulfillment that every woman desires.
Now, is that why you wrote the book? I mean, you mentioned that it took you 4 years to write it. So was there sort of an evolution in terms of your perspectives?
Well, the idea came about 4 years ago in 2006. I started this organization that you're aware of, I Am My Sister's Keeper, which is now IF Inc., and we're a national and international organization of about 1,400 members, dues-paying members nationally, and then, you know, thousands upon thousands read our weekly messages, the blogs, et cetera. And I was sitting with some girlfriends, and it dawned on me that there was a problem. I mean, and I saw some of my most successful sister friends getting things like shingles. I had gotten diagnosed 2 years before that with a major endocrine disease that came out of nowhere, you know, girlfriends with depression. And I was seeing all these super women, super black women who looked fabulous, who seemed to have it all together, really falling apart. And so I sat down and I started to do some research, and I called up two dear friends of mine, one at Gallup Polling and one at the polling company, Kellyanne Conway, who did all the research for the book from the women's side, and then Dr. Silas Lee, who did the work, did the research from Xavier University for black males. And so the reason the book took so long to write was I had to put together a proposal. I had to really think about what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go with it, and then I had to get experts involved, and then we had to shop the book proposal, you know, to an agent, and that was pretty easy. I got an agent pretty quickly in New York, and then, you know, we had to shop it to publishers, and, you know, it was a four-year process, and the last 2 years were very intense, and then all last year through the beginning of this year, we did the research, the focus groups nationally, black men, white men, white women, black women, you know, people of color. We talked to everybody about their perceptions about black women and, you know, why there's such this aura of negativity surrounding us and what we were going to do about it.
Yeah, and do you believe in a lot of ways that we have internalized that negativity so much that sort of the devil has left the building and we're doing it to ourselves now?
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much, but I will say that, again, I thought what was relevant about Tyler Perry's movie Colored Girls last night is that, as I said, I sat there, and as someone who's now authored a book that, you know, no one else has seen yet, but I know what's in it, I know what the research findings are, and how I wrote our story, what resonated with me is how similar things still were, and that most of the characters, if not all of the characters in the movie Colored Girls, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I'm assuming many of your followers will, and you will, the pain that they had, the struggles that they had, were all based on choices that they made. Same as you and me every day, Chris. You make choices, I make choices. Some are good, some are bad. The bad ones usually have consequences, right?
Right.
And so I do think that we've internalized some of the worst things that people say about us, and we've begun to live and act out those things in our everyday reality.
Mm. Now, you talked about the contributors a little bit, and you worked with them on a serious nonfiction book that wasn't an anthology. Now, how did that work? I mean,
well, one of the things that I wanted to do, this book is heavy, like Colored Girls. It's heavy. I you know, it's a heavy book. And so I needed to end the book. The book is written, you know, certainly by me. I'm like the narrator. I kind of take you guys on a journey into my life, into the lives of women that we talk to in focus groups. We work in the data. But I do it in the way that's very conversational. It's not a research book, even though it has groundbreaking, never before seen research on us in it. And I tell this story, and it's like a conversation you'd sit down and have with your girls or your sorority sisters or over tea or coffee. And what I wanted to do was end the book on a very, the book is very prescriptive, okay? So it is a self-help kind of book in that I'm not going to do what everybody else is doing to us. Everybody else likes to say what is wrong with us, but nobody's talking about why or how or, you know, what we do about it. And, I wanted to end on a light note and on a positive note, and I was talking with my editors one day and with some good friends, and I said, you know, I need to let some other sisters weigh in here, and I want to hear from the brothers too. And so what I did was I had five or six feature essays that I asked some of the best and brightest in our nation. If you go on the website, blackwomanredefined.com, you can see some of the contributors, not certainly all of them, because I think I have over 40 or 50 short essays. And by that, I mean, they got 100 to 200 words. So it's really like an extensive quote that they were allowed to have, where they were able to say to young black women, college age and up, okay, if I could come back and talk to my young self again, here's what I'd say. And they vary from people like Tamron Hall and Soledad O'Brien to Julianne Malvo of Bennett College to Mickey Taylor of Essence to, you know, Kimberly Elise, who's one of the stars of Colored Girls. In fact, I would say she's the main star of it. The movie seems to center around her pain and the Janet Jackson character, Taraji Henson, Jill Scott. You know, I can keep ticking off names all day long. The brothers Roland Martin, Mark Lamont Hill, Jeff Johnson, Omar Tarr, you know, Finesse Mitchell. I was blessed to know these people, to have relationships with them and be able to work with them. And they were all thrilled to do it, and they all dug really deep for me, and they got personal. And again, I made them do it in less than 200 words, so imagine what that was like.
Yeah, those are the hardest ones to do when
Absolutely.
You only have the...
Absolutely.
Now, let's delve in, because this is Beyond Black and White, let's delve in with the whole issue of we had the hoopla last year that's, you know, 70% of black women are single and why are they single? And then you have this online dating service that says black women are the least to be picked. And so, like you said, we've got a lot of negative stuff out there about us. And we as women, I mean, I'm an advocate in you judge character over color, and that you find that man, whether he's black, white, yellow, pink with purple polka dots, you find the best man for the job. How do you feel about that? Do you address that in your book at all?
I do. The relationship chapter is, I think the relationship chapter will be widely read and talked about. I named it after one of my favorite songs from the 70s, Wildflower, which is a great song by New Birth. And if you ever listen to the lyrics, I actually contacted the New Birth guys that were, you know, wrote and sung the song, and I got permission to use and reprint the lyrics as like kind of a, the way the book will be laid out, there are certain areas where a poem may lead into the chapter. I try to set your mind for what you're going to get into in each different chapter, in each different section of the book. And the reason I chose those lyrics is because, you know, she's a sweet and gentle flower growing wild. She holds back the tears many times, the weight of the world upon her shoulders. And that describes us. And so when you think of the men that we love, black women are so loyal to black men. We're the most loyal group on the planet, yet black men have not been equally loyal to black women in the sense that they date the rainbow, and they are the most likely male group on the planet to date and marry outside of their race, whereas black women are the least. That's something to pause and think about for a moment. And so my goal was to write that chapter in a way that certainly draws black men and black women back together, but one of the things I say emphatically in the book is it time to bring home a white boy is one of the sub-chapters. My friend Karen Folan wrote that book, and she's someone I interviewed as well as others. And if I hadn't known you, I'd have interviewed you too at the time. But we talk about that, and I tell sisters you've got to open up your options. I myself have dated white men, was in point of fact in a very serious relationship with one. I don't want to say too much about my personal life. I talk about it a lot in the book, but I would say we're going back and forth with each other. I've struggled with it because of the fact that I consider myself such a black woman in the sense of, you know, I'm an AKA, I'm involved in the organizations. I'm very, as you could tell, I wear my black femininity, my black womanness very loudly, and I love it. I'm proud of it. You know, I have an organization dedicated to professional black women. So I'm like the poster girl of black femaleness, and then here I am finding myself loving a white man and struggling with that because, not because he's white, but because the fear of what will my community think. Will they say I'm a sellout? Can I carry this message and love a white man at the same time? And I think a lot of sisters struggle with issues like that. You know, is my preference for brothers? Absolutely. I have no problem saying that. I've said that forever. But I think like a lot of black women, particularly when you get to my age, you get to 40 plus years old and you've never been married and have no children, you have to open up your options to men who are going to bless you, who are going to love you and treat you well and honor you and help you to be your best you. And I think that's what I want young sisters to grasp. Stop feeling like you have to settle for the guy that has three other babies by several of your peers, and yet he tells you he loves you, and you think that that's an acceptable relationship for you to be in because you figure you have no options, when there might be a white guy, an Asian guy, a Native American guy, a Hispanic man that will love you and treat you like a queen. Open up your mind and open up your possibilities.